ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषसुनवादे पश्यत देशतारिणे। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिक कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणाममि हरि प्रिय। अंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश कृपा सिंधुभयेभ्यश पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय गुरु महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की गौर प्रवानंद। Life comes from life. So in mainly in 1973, so Prabhupada in his morning walk, he generally takes 1 hour morning walk, generally from 6 to 7. So during those morning walks, he was accompanied by several devotees, especially in Los Angeles. There was one devotee, was a very important devotee in the early days called Karandhar Prabhu. He was the temple president in Los Angeles during those early 70s. So he was the temple president at the same time. He was taking great responsibility in helping Srila Prabhupada in many ways, in printing, like the Krishna book was first printed in Japan. And many projects that were conceived in different parts of the world. And Karandhar Prabhu was very, very expert in helping Srila Prabhupada. But unfortunately, he's not with us. He played a very important role in the 1970s in helping Srila Prabhupada. So those morning walks, especially in two areas, one is called Venice Beach. Venice Beach is in the Pacific Coast and in the Los Angeles area. It's called Venice Beach. And then the other area that Prabhupada used to walk is called the Civet Hill Park. That is very close to the temple in Los Angeles. So these two areas were that Prabhupada spots of morning walk every day. So if I used to come, whenever Prabhupada stayed, during Prabhupada's time, he stayed at most of his preaching projects in Los Angeles. Los Angeles was called the New Dwarka Dham, was the headquarters, almost like headquarters, world headquarters for Prabhupada at the time. Of course, Mayapur is our spiritual world headquarters, but for the missionary work, then those days, like Los Angeles, New Dwarka was kind of a headquarter. Prabhupada spent most of his time there, and many, many projects were conceived there, and also all the BBT printing works and all the translations, and most of them were executed in New Dwarka. So Shodapur, New Dwarka is very important center for the entire world. So whenever Prabhupada came to the United States, I was not like regular full-time devotee. I was only part-time because I was working at the university. And the university where I worked is called the University of California at Irvine, which is about 1 hour drive from Los Angeles. It's near the beach. Very close, the name of the beach is called Newport Beach. That is in between Newport Beach and the Laguna Beach. And so this campus was in between these two important places, tourist places. So whenever Prabhupada came to, especially to New Dwarka, then I used to go to have the darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And what I did was, I generally go in the morning, say, for the Prabhupada asked me to come to the morning walk every day, so I had to rest. I generally go around 4 o'clock in the morning driving, and in this freeway I was driving, and just to be with Prabhupada in those early morning hours. So generally, these devotees who will accompany Prabhupada, they are listed in a notebook, a calendar. Calendar was very, very tight, and so he doesn't allow everyone to come in freely, but it has to be registered a few days ahead of time. That will accompany Prabhupada. And so at 6 o'clock, Prabhupada goes, comes morning walk. Sometimes I come driving, and sometimes I go with Prabhupada in the car. One time there was one Rolls Royce. One Rolls Royce was bought for Prabhupada by Kalandar. Sometimes Prabhupada is very humorous. And so I was with him in that Rolls Royce one morning. And then there was one devotee came from England. And so Prabhupada said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you have a Rolls Royce." No, Prabhupada said, "This is not only a Rolls Royce, it is a British car." He was very humorous. And so during those morning walks, so generally we discuss about, it's like I just opened yesterday, how this idea of life comes from life, that came to Prabhupada's mind. So since that time, Prabhupada was only talking about how modern science, especially those biologists or chemists who are working about the understanding about life's origin, life and its origin. He was very concerned that the scientists, these prominent scientists in general throughout the world, are misleading the common masses of the people. So in this way, they said, so the scientists are making the whole generation to become materialistic, away from God consciousness. So in this way, Prabhupada was expressing great concern. And so for us, I think for those devotees who were with Prabhupada in those morning walks, we had like two classes. 1 hour in the morning walk, the Prabhupada is giving like some kind of classes with the dialogues. Generally, I was playing the role of a scientist, because Prabhupada wanted in that way, and I was freely expressing. I didn't have any some kind of I was very free to express because Prabhupada made me do like that. And so the thoughts that came, these are all kind of a spontaneous kind of a thing that came from also from my mind. So I was asking questions, and sometimes acting as a scientist, sometimes acting as a servant. so mixed kind of role that I was playing. According to Prabhupada's mood, that I was compelled to act in that way. So so then he said, so if the scientists are committed to understand life, that life coming from chemicals, then why don't they inject some chemical to a dead body and revive the dead body? What is the missing in the chemical? Then he used to give examples of Einstein. You know, Einstein is a very brilliant scientist. So why Einstein is dead? You know, if you find a chemical, why did you inject the Einstein's body and revive him? So why is that? And he said, so therefore, and the scientists are cheating. So in the name of science, they are misleading the innocent masses. And in this way, instead of doing good service to humanity, rather they are misleading humanity. They are doing disservice. So in this way, he talked almost every day for several days on this topic. So that for doing those morning walks, he used these words like the scientists must be kicked out on the face with a boot. And so he's a rascal scientist. And so this was Prabhupada was expressing in that way. And so then he said, we should go to the colleges and universities around the world and present this science of Krishna consciousness. He said, the lecture in colleges and universities around the world, telling that the scientists are wrong. And so light cannot be originated from a combination of chemistry, these elements, these molecules. So you'll speak like that in the morning walk, and then during the Bhagavatam also. Then Bhagavatam class starts 7:15, around that, after the darshan. Then again during the class, and he will, from Bhagavatam, and he occasionally he asks questions to the devotees, and then he calls us like during the class, and then bring up these points occasionally about the scientists are misleading the entire world, and so we must do something so that this message of Bhagavatam is taught in the colleges and universities around the world. So one time, then Prabhupada also said during the Bhagavatam that we should go to the colleges and universities, and he said this scientific preaching must also be accompanied by a sankirtan. There will be a sankirtan party, and then we should speak science, and then we should also do sankirtan. And so I think you all know about Vishnu Jana Swami. Vishnu Jana Maharaj was one of the earlier disciples of Srila Prabhupada, but unfortunately he also is no longer with us now. So Vishnu Jana was very fond of singing in a kirtan, And so in Los Angeles, we had a group, Sankirtan group singing that before Bhagavatam and also after the Bhagavatam, like they sing. And Vishnujana Maharaj was a leader. So just after the Bhagavad class that morning, then he came out. So Sarup Damodar, so now I'm ready to go with you. Because Prabhupada just said that you should be accompanied by a Sankirtan party in speaking about science. So whenever you are ready, I'm ready. And so he was very kind and he was very fond of also doing kirtan. So in this way, Prabhupada was very, very enthusiastic about presenting Krishna consciousness that way. But then I was busy with my university work. My PhD work was not finished. And then Prabhupada actually commissioned myself and this devotee, the one that I told you yesterday, that Ramananda Rai, that he said, both of us should go around the world and present this Krishna consciousness in colleges and universities. That was in the early 70s. That Ramananda, he left from from the United States around 1971, and then he started a small temple in Gorakhpur. And so, but he and I was in the United States, and he's in India, and he was a professor at the university. And I was just finishing my PhD, so he had some communication. And so Prabhupada was saying that, so when are you going to start this both of you? He said, I'll pay all your expenditure for your journey around the world, but you should begin this as soon as possible. So like that was the earlier part of the 70s. So the program was that we should try to find ways and means how to interact with the scholars, especially with the scientifically trained scholars around the world, and have dialogue and discussion about this the philosophy that life is a product of molecules. And just to tell them that this is the wrong philosophy, or this is the wrong conception. Rather, we have to realize that life comes from life. And so we should build up this foundation in order to correct the mistakes of the scientists. So that was Prabhupada's main thesis. So I call this Prabhupada's thesis. We call this as a divine doctrine. Life comes from life. So then I was supposed to write a book along these lines. Prabhupada actually instructed that book to write this book. So I had made an outline about the contents of the book. What is the nature of the book? And Prabhupada said that he will write one chapter in this book. So in the preparation. So hopefully it will come out soon. One chapter will be written by Prabhupada. He said, I will write that chapter saying that Krishna is the origin of life. That was the Prabhupada's topic, that he said he'll write that section. And then, so this was outlined in the United States when I was discussing with Prabhupada. So this was the background of this Life Comes from Life. And this book, that Life Comes from Life, this is everything is not here, but some of the main discussions in those morning walks, I think it was prepared by some senior devotees, and so this came out from that discussion. But everything is not here. But, there are many other tapes. I still have the original tapes. I have about more than 100 tapes that are still with me, fortunately. And so we are planning to produce it, at least this book, in the soon. That is the background of this life comes from life principle. So the argument that in order to present this, say it's science and the philosophy, especially among the scientific community, is that we see that if you have a little background in chemistry or and in biology, so the plan that Prabhupada outlined was that we have to show that there is a modern conception of life, in other words, they call the Darwinian or Neo-Darwinian doctrine of life, saying that life is according to their conception, life will be generated from a combination of molecules. The molecules means there are basic building, molecules. Let's say, for example, the protein. The protein is most percentage of this body is made up of protein molecules, proteins. So these protein molecules are building blocks of proteins called amino acids. These are basic amino acids. So from amino acids, then you get the protein molecules. And from there is called nucleic acids. Nucleic acids are, the scientists say, that the nucleic acids are the molecules that carry the information. So they are called either DNA or RNAs. DNA means DNA consists of three basic units of molecules. So one is called base molecule, and the second is called the sugar molecule, sugar, and the third unit is called the phosphate. So these three units of molecules combined together, they form this called nucleic acid chains. So there are these DNA or RNA. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid. It's the chemical name. And RNA is ribonucleic acid. So these are, let's say, the information carriers. They carry the information. So let's say these molecules are responsible why your hair is gray, or why your eyes are blue, or the shape of this physical. Let's say these nucleic acids are responsible for that. So you said it, nucleic acids. And then there's carbohydrates and the protein molecules. Protein molecules are also enzymes. Enzymes means that help a reaction go very fast, quickly. And then there's other smaller other chemicals. So by the combination of these molecules, they say, given a very long time span, or it's a cosmic time scale, let's say billions of years. So if you keep this time scale, then life will come from that. Life will emerge from that. So they call this is called primordial chemical. They call soup, primordial chemical soup. In other words, this is a combination of these molecules in the ancient history of this universe, Earth. So this is kind of a theory that they are thinking along that line. But our Prabhupada's point was that if a proper conception, then what is the reason that we do not see life coming out today? What is the point? What is the explanation behind that? Now, we have in our, let's say, in our knowledge of chemistry today, or biochemistry, even in biology, that we have the techniques, the know-how, how to actually isolate that the, all these called biomolecules, that this body, that's from the body, you can isolate the protein molecules, then the nucleic acids, and the lipids, and the carbohydrates. All these complicated molecules can be isolated, and then you, instead of worrying about how these molecules, you know, came about, but you have that ready-made that is available. You can isolate, you can make all these things available. So if life is a product of chemistry, and it is reasonable to assume that by mixing all these chemicals in a test tube, then if life is a product of these molecules, then you'll see it. But then the question is, why is it not happening? And that was the very logical question. And so that question still remains. But on the other hand, there are called evolutionary chemists. That what they do is that they conceive that in the early part of the history of the earth, they conceive certain atmospheric composition that they call the primordial atmosphere. So in that atmosphere, they conceive that that atmosphere must be free from oxygen. So that's called a reducing atmosphere. In other words, if oxygen is there, that oxygen will oxidize the other elements. So therefore, it will be destroyed. So in order not to do that, they conceive called a reducing atmosphere. A reducing atmosphere means, in chemistry, that when everything is mixed with hydrogen, then it is understood to be reduced. For example, nitrogen. So when nitrogen is mixed with hydrogen, forming NH3, it's called ammonia molecule. So it is regarded as a reduced state, nitrogen. And similarly, carbon. So in carbon is mixed with hydrogen, then say, for example, you form CH4. So this is called methane gas. That is a reduced state. So anything, even with oxygen, when it is mixed with hydrogen, say H2O, so that the oxygen is also in the kind of reduced state when it is mixed with hydrogen. So at this point, everything must be in the reduced state. That was the conception that the scientists are using. Thunders and the lightning and then there is some kind of atmospheric reaction chemistry going on. It's called a spark. This is a spark. Discharge, electrical discharge, the reactions. So events like that, so it is conceivable that events like that will happen in nature, and from that reaction, then there will be some small molecules will be formed. That is was the conception. So this conception was tested in 1953. So the person who tested is called Stanley Miller. Miller and Urey. Miller was a student. He was in Chicago at that time. So this was in 1953. And he tried his experiment as a student, as a graduate student. So what he did was, it's actually an experiment that, in that experiment, he mixed this NH3
and hydrogen with this electric discharge, so he made a combination of these gaseous mixture and subjected to high frequency electrical discharge reaction. And he analyzed the products, and in the product he found some basic small amounts of amino acids. So that gave some kind of a very enthusiastic feeling in the minds of the scientists that yes, what we thought, that steps like this might be the here's the experiment. So this is mixture of this H2O and H3, CH4 and hydrogen. So this is the chamber, this is the reaction. These are all gases. And then after the reaction, then you condense it, and then you take it out the product and analyze and see what is it. So I found some amino acids. There's a glycine. So there are 20 essential amino acids in this body. And so these amino acids combined together form the protein molecules. So we found some traces of these amino acids. So from this from this reaction, scientists became so enthusiastic, and so they felt that these are the steps. Slowly, when these molecules, small molecules, become bigger molecules in the course of time, then eventually life might emerge. So that was the hope that the scientists had. In fact, 1953 is also regarded as a landmark history, especially in chemistry and biology. That was the year that Watson and Crick, and Watson was from the United States, Crick was from England. So one of them discovered this is the structure of DNA, that's for which they got the Nobel Prize. That was 1953. So this 1953, this year is regarded as a landmark history in the especially in chemistry and in biology. This experiment was also done in 1953, that atmospheric, they call a primordial chemistry. Chemical reaction is called the Miller-Urey experiment. So this is in the textbook, all the chemistry textbooks, biology textbooks, they have this picture showing that, and they teach that this is how life came about. So this is a throughout world. So therefore it is quite reasonable to examine this, whether this is really valid or not. And the tools that we have in order to actually examine. So our proposal is that if life could be conceived as a product of these extraordinary biomolecules, because the molecules is very something, something what the Lord has done is also very, very wonderful to think about it, to conceive these molecules, how they function within the body, is something inconceivable. But when the scientists are thinking that, because of these, they say, very coordinated chemical reactions. Coordinated means very systematic, and all these complex molecules, in a coordinated system of reactions. So somehow, then it will result into life. That was the conviction that they proposed. So then our question will be that. You have all these chemicals, but these scientists who are working from these small molecules, for them, they see this is very just a small, building block they are starting. Say, for example, amino acids. From there, you have to go to the protein molecules, which is very big in the long chain molecules. It may take many years to come to that. or you may not even be sure whether it will come to that or not. But what we are saying is that now don't worry about this. Forget about this experiment. This how this basic like amino acids are, basic molecules are there. But forget about this. But now you have the ready-made. Let's say all these big molecules are already there. So why don't you start from there? So our question is, okay, we get this ready-made chemistry, chemicals. Now, you mix this ready-made, all these important molecules that make up this this living body. So you start from there and see whether life is possible or not. Then if you say, if we find that, no, it's not possible, then the question should be resolved. Whether life is a creation from the divine principle or not. So in this way, we could come to some kind of resolution of the debate. The debate is generally between the theists and the atheists, like the devotees and the demon, that type of thing. So that is our question. And in the process of doing that, what one could ask is that, well, they say, the time scale that we have, it may not be sufficient. It may not be enough. It may take a long time. Well, if that be the case, then we say that you make a called a catalyst, super catalyst, enzymes. Generally, enzymes are supposed to increase the rate of reaction faster, as faster. So why don't we conceive a faster, let's say, enzyme, conceive an enzyme which could make the reaction as faster. So so these are the questions that remain unanswered. So, and there is enough evidence to show that all these things are just only in the mind. These are just conceptions, and it's not going to give an answer. So that was Prabhupada's point, that you saw that and all this chemistry, all these chemical reactions will never give to life. Or in other words, so you have to establish that life is an entirely spiritual principle. At a point, Bhagavad Gita, there are two energies of the Lord. One is called the material energy, known as apara. Apara means inferior knowledge, and the other is a superior knowledge, that paravidya. So this is in the paravidya, that parasakti, that superior energy, is characterized by the presence of consciousness. In other words, so these are two principles, the energies of the Lord. So they have to be understood. So in science, what I would like to say is that in science, we only study these inferior energy. In other words, the upper conception of energy. And so we do not have a chance to actually study life. But because of the misconception about life as thinking as a material product, therefore people are trying the ways and means how to look life from that angle. And so therefore it is for generations, so we are entangled, and at the same time, there is no answer. And there is actually the evidence to show that whatever the scientists are working as from the material conception, so this is not going to produce any important result. So then the alternative will be this: life comes from life. So life comes from life. So all the religious traditions and all the spiritual traditions, they acknowledge that everything is created by the Supreme Lord. So that will be our principle of presenting this viewpoint that life comes from life. In other words, we have to present life as a spiritual entity, and which has a consciousness, and also life has its free will, freedom, and so it's completely different from this material body. So that is the that is the principle that Prabhupada was making an emphasis. So that his instruction to us was that we should present this science and philosophy, taking these instructions from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and present this to the scientific community, so that they will also begin to take this seriously, and then so that the way their mistakes will be corrected, and then the world will be benefited. That was Srila Prabhupada's plan. And so the conferences that we are organizing, that on science and religion, is an attempt to bring, you know, many scientists and scholars from around the world to actually discuss along these lines. It is it's kind of a long it's a long road. But unless one is, we don't bring them to some kind of a platform of discussion, then it will remain quite slow. So so this is one of the ways of bringing, especially the well-known scientists, especially people in the field of chemistry and biology. Generally, in this area, although everybody is interested in life, but generally the chemists and biologists, these are the two groups of professionals who are handling directly with life. In physics, people do the philosophy in physics, and even regular philosophy, they talk about a lot of life, but they doesn't seem that the chemists and the biologists don't take it very seriously. But these are hardcore, that the biologists and the chemists, so if they come out and do something, then it has more weight, even in the field of science, the chemists and the biologists. And because they are the one who are handling all these molecules, and so they are the one who are making more noise in this area. So if we have what is a chemist and a biologist, you know, come forward and they admit that this mistake, then it will be easy to that for other scientists to accept. Once these groups of scientists, the biologists means biochemists. The biologists also, they only in the biology, they also don't study much, but biochemists and the chemists. So if these two groups of scientists, if they come to realize that the idea of that the life coming out of the chemistry, it is not valid, then the world will be, they will take, the other people will take it very seriously. And so this is a very age-old problem, and it is a even it is relevant even today, and it remains so, I think, for generations to come. And so it is a very challenging area And especially for us, for Krishna conscious devotees, also it is a important area for preaching, for having discussions, dialogues with scientists and philosophers. There are many interesting aspects in the historically. I think most of us know about Louis Pasteur. And Pasteur is a very well-known scholar, scientist. So in France, there was in the 19th century that there was this debate in France, and in France, it's called the spontaneous generation. So this spontaneous generation was the concept that life could come out from rotten things, like some rotten things, that either some rats or some insects, so that they felt that maybe this is coming from this rotten matter. So that it was life coming out of matter. People thought something like that in the early days. So there was, some insects may come out from a heap of rice or from some other collection of impurities. So there was an announcement in the French Academy that anyone who can show whether life is a product of from these rotten materials, then you get a prize. So that prize it was announced by the French Academy. So the Pasteur conceived an experiment. So it is very interesting that about two centuries ago, 18th and 19th century, people thought about like this. In an experiment like this. So this experiment, I'm sure I think some of you might have this. I'm not sure whether it is in textbook. I think sometimes people who are nowadays they don't, the scientists don't, what Pasteur said. They don't put it properly. Rather, they try to distort it. Pasteur was. So this is called the swan neck experiment. This is a flask, and the neck is like swan neck. The idea was that you sterilize this by boiling, and put a broth here. And then make, say, some kind of, like a soup that you make. And then you boil it, you sterilize this, and put a cotton plug here, a sterilized cotton plug. The idea was that the germs cannot come from outside and enter into this broth. Because if the germs come from outside, then there will be fermentation. But if there's no fermentation, that means life comes from life, not from... The life is originated from either eggs that the insects lay in the heaps of those rotten things or the microorganisms that this will be fermented. So that means, but when these insects are prohibited to enter and into this flask from outside by this sterilized cotton plug. And if no insects or no microorganisms go inside, then there will be no life. There will be no fermentation here. So if you go to Paris, there is a museum called Pasteur, Louis Pasteur's memorial kind of a museum in Paris. There are this experiment is still there. That what it is. That I saw it once. And I went in France. He has that the museum is very kept nicely, and there are also many writings because Pasteur was very much He was like a devotee, the pastor. He's doing. And also, last year when I went to Dole, pastor was born. In Dole, just a village nearby. So I went to his. That is also as a museum, and this spotted experiment is also there. I saw it. So Pasteur got the prize. So he proved that life could not come from matter, rotten matter, but it was, by insects or by microorganisms there. So that he said, so life comes from life. So it was. he was already proving that he got the prize. Some very nice statements made by Pasteur, and we use it in our preaching. So I think it is a very possible that a very good logic and argument can be built. So this was Prabhupada's one of the most important platforms that Prabhupada wanted us to conduct this presentation throughout the world. That life comes from life. So that's the background. And so tomorrow, I would like to present our view about life comes from life from the spiritual conception. So this is the background of the scientists. But this can be very easily proven that at least this material conception is a very, very insufficient. That everybody will agree, that the scientists. So that's enough materials to show that honest person. The scientist that I want to see here, he had a similar opinion like we have. That's what. But unfortunately, I cannot see him. He is in the mountain at the moment. But today there was good sunshine, so you might have good. If he gets tired, then he will come back and then we'll be able to see each other. So, any questions that you have? I'm not sure whether you have any. This requires maybe a little background in chemistry. That will be a little helpful, but otherwise, anybody has any studied chemistry, biology? One time, Prabhupada said, I was also a chemist. Prabhupada was running a pharmacy in Allahabad. So then he used to tell me that, you see, when I was distilling the water, making distilled water, and then and I was selling, but if I say, I put a label, distilled water, but nobody is interested in buying. But if I say, if I write it, aqua distillate, then people think this is medicine, the people buy it. Prabhupada was. Okay. I was also a chemist. And yes, Prabhupada was very humorous. But it is a. It seems like it's very important. Very important part of preaching. Prabhupada's main instruction to us was. When he was when the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam came out, there are a lot of questions. I even said that many devotees left the movement at that time because they could not take it. That fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam cosmology. The sun is farther away than the moon, so that that when that came out, that I got a message that many devotees they even left the movement at that time. It's in Prabhupada's time. Because they could not, conceive that. But then Prabhupada is presentation on cosmology, so this is Vedic cosmology, and one is this like comes from life. These are kind of a very two important, most important conception that Prabhupada had. And then, in fact, in 1976, we had a lot of discussion about the moon landing program. In the, so Prabhupada was saying that no, they didn't go to the moon, and it was very strong. And they went to Arizona. He said Arizona in America, in Arizona, and they manipulated from that in Arizona, and so to convince the innocent people. So Prabhupada had many interesting ideas, and it was so this cosmology. But the cosmology said we should do something also on cosmology, and this life comes from life. But life comes from life. He took it out more seriousness. Right, this life comes from life. Was all my years of the proper association, the 8 years was primarily focused on this life comes from life conception. Whenever I went to see Srila Prabhupada, I always talk about this. So how is your preparation? So how much progress you are making? And I used to say almost every day, and, whenever I went to see him. So, in fact, we had the first conference called First International Conference on Life Comes from Life. That was in the last days of Prabhupada's presence here in this planet, in Vrindavan. So we conceived this program in 1977, in the early part of the year, that you see, in the month of May 1977, that all the GBC members were called to Vrindavan because Prabhupada was not feeling well. His body was not keeping well. So we all gathered together in Vrindavan, all the GBC members from all over. So during that time, I had discussions with Prabhupada almost every day about his scientific preaching. This life comes from life. Then I requested Prabhupada that maybe we hold a conference, international congress conference. So, but that conference was not specifically titled this way. Then I was requesting Prabhupada that this Bhaktivedanta Institute, so one of the important functions of the institute would be to organize international conferences, congresses. And so then Prabhupada said that, so why don't you organize one in Vrindavan? And so I was suggesting to Prabhupada that Prabhupada in America, there is a conference named called Gordon Conference in the, among the scientists. And so similarly, we want to have this conference as an annual feature for many, many years to come. So I suggest that, can I name this as Bhaktivedanta Conference? So that this will be held in every year. And then Prabhupada said, people may not take it very seriously. But then you name it as First International Conference on Life Comes from Life. First International Conference on Life Comes from Life. So, uh, So that conference therefore was held from October 14 to 16. That was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or 3 days in Vrindavan, in the presence of Prabhupada. So that it was actually with this a long preparation. At the same time, it involved a lot of sentiments and a lot of things went inside, because Prabhupada is going to be leaving next month. So the conference started in October 14, and Prabhupada had to leave on November 14. Just after 1 year, after 1 month. So the Prabhupada said, do something so that I can see it before I depart. He was, I want to see it. And so a lot of things went inside within that Prabhupada. But I was very happy that we did a little effort that we made, and with a little time and the sources that we have at the time. At some time Prabhupada was not feeling well, and then Prabhupada, every day I was going out and reporting to Prabhupada in the evening. And Prabhupada, I met such and such people, and I was running to Delhi, and because this is in Mathura, and going to the colleges and universities, inviting scholars, Agra, and just rushing around here and there. And especially during those days, going in India is not very easy. I go by rickshaw, by bus, by train, and so in this way. But every day I'll come and give a report to Prabhupada that Prabhupada met us and such and such. And at this conference, when we arranged this conference, then Prabhupada was calling also many leaders of our society, members, and he helped, prasadam, how to entertain these guests who come there to Vrindavan, to the guest house, while they stay, and what type of menu they were preparing for the scholars. And so all these details Prabhupada was instructing how to do it. We had a bust, Prabhupada's bust, in his room, because he could not walk today, he could not go to the conference room. And he said, please take this bust and put a garland every day. And so it is as good as that I am there. And then during the conference, he used to call me every hour that, then I want to know what's going on, who is speaking, and what are they saying. And so this way, it was, Prabhupada had a tremendous interest. And during in Vrindavan, we're all dressed with a suit and with a tie, and Madhava. He was also a scientist, my colleague, Madhava Das, from he was originally from Washington. He was also a chemist. We have Saraputta, and we had Brahmatirtha. Brahmatirtha is he had a background in geology. And we have Ganadas from England. So we are the speakers from our side. So we are all dressed as pens and after the days, on the day, in the evening when the conference was over, then we went to see Prabhupada. And when we went to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada was lying on the bed, and since we had that dress, he wanted us to sit in the chair. And so Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. So he was saying that Prabhupada and our scientists are all dressed like scientists. And so Prabhupada wanted us to sit on the chair, so he arranged the chairs, and he was asking how conference was going, and so in this way he had tremendous interest. And so then he said we should hold this type of conference, this gathering, in every city of the world. And so he left a lot of instructions along that line on this preaching of Krishna consciousness among the scientists and the scholars around the world. So, trying in a humble way how to present this aspect of Krishna consciousness. So, our next plan is to arrange a congress in Rome. That's my plan. I mean, that's I'm thinking in about 2 years. That's at least I'm conceiving that on the same theme, life comes from life. That is, we have done so far science and religion. And this is also kind of science and religion, but the topic that the Prabhupada's favorite topic, I thought now this is the seems to be the right time. And this is what I'm planning to have 108th year of Prabhupada's appearance. And that in Rome is, I personally find that Rome is, because of the presence of the Vatican, it has some kind of a spiritual, let's say, atmosphere. And, many people come there, but they, at least, people's minds is a little bit bent to a spiritual kind of dialogue. And so I thought it is a good ground to do this conference, especially in Rome. So we'll have many leaders from different religious communities speak on, also some scientists. That's the plan. And so one of my plans to meet these scientists for that program, that I had it in my mind that I have not disclosed this to them, but that's my plan. That to invite this, some of these Nobel laureates and speak in this conference. That's the. It takes about 2 to 3 years to cultivate a scientist like that, and then you don't say these things immediately. But first, you know they make some friend and friendship, and then you know that's how we get these people. And so that's my. Secret plan, but revealed here. So, with the blessings of Prabhupada, I hope you could do this. Rome has, some kind of atmosphere that, also in the last few years, I've been going very often to Rome, and I developed some friendship in that, especially among the religious groups. So I was thinking that seems like the right timing. And so I think we end here. And tomorrow I'll speak on is a spiritual aspect of life. That is, the life comes from life. About how we would present that the spiritual aspect of life, which maybe as a scientist will take it a little seriously. But in that, I'll speak. This free will is one of the principles that I like to use it. Some kind of properties. Yeah, we have to focus on some practical properties of life. But this philosophy is one thing, but something that we experience in our day-to-day life, and even faith. That faith is, it is both in science as well as in spiritual culture. And faith is again another important dimension, and free will. And the nature of consciousness. These are some of the elements that will be used for presenting life comes from life. So this is our kind of, and if you have some questions and some, or maybe some suggestions, they're all like preparing. And so if you have some thoughts, and also it would be nice that I can record, and everybody can contribute in this. So we end here. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande.